Airlines in the United States damage or destroy 10 to 15,000 wheelchairs or mobility devices every single year. And that's just the beginning of the issues that people with disabilities have to endure at airports across the United States. We're going to talk about that and a lot more today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro, the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. And today, fellas, we're going to talk about travel and the challenges that people and families with disabilities face every single day, not only at airports, but, you know, at hotels and other things that are, you know, go hand in hand with travel. And, you know, me as a person with a daughter with severe disabilities, and Mike, same with you, and Isaac is the son of somebody with visual disabilities, something that we can all relate to personally. But we're not just here to bitch and complain about it. We're here to figure out solutions and help other people, because travel and vacation, all that stuff, is super duper important. Something that helps families bond, and also something that's really important to do and sometimes necessary for work and school and activities and stuff like that. And we want to help people listening today make it as seamless and easy as possible, because I know for me, sometimes when it's like, hey, everybody, we got to load up in the van and we got to travel, my daughter's in a wheelchair, that feeling of anxiety and, oh my God, this is going to be incredibly difficult. It's very overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming at times. Mike, I know we were talking before the show. Give me one of your, before we start getting into the solutions, give me one of the stories that you and your family had to deal with where it was like, we need to figure out a better way.
I'd have to say airport security every single time we would go through when we'd put Rosie in a walker. And most of the time, TSA is not familiar with a walker, and they just expect that she can get up and walk through, and they don't know how to dismantle it. And for so many trips, there was zero training for the TSA people. And finally, one time, not too long ago, there was a supervisor that realized this ain't right and said, here's a card, call in advance, we can help you do private screening. But I can't even tell you, it was countless times. It starts in the beginning with training of people. We didn't even make it through the gate before we had to experience all the other disasters and difficulties and challenges. But for us, it's always been the first thing, TSA. And for me, that sets the stage for what's next, what's next, what's next.
Isaac? Now, that's interesting you bring that right up there, because, you know, you're talking about training in TSA, and I'm going to go right to what my mom's always talked about when she's traveled. And they want to put her in a wheelchair, but she's like, I'm blind, I just need an arm. But they want to put her in a wheelchair, and she's like, I can walk. So I'm going to leave it there. And I don't want to bash on the TSA, because, you know, I go through airport security and, you know, you guys take care of us. But definitely interesting as we start to talk down, it's about, you know, some of the experiences.
To that point, I'll say this. I don't think that the people at TSA go into their job going like, oh, how do I make life more difficult for people. I don't think that's the way that they approach their job. I do think, to Mike's point, that it has to do with training and sometimes lack of training, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're doing the best you can with what you know. And it's up to the supervisors and people in charge of creating the programs and training to make sure that the people that are under them understand the best way to treat people with disabilities and understand, okay, how can I act in certain situations to make sure that people are treated with respect, that this person, because just like you, Mike, there was this time where we were walking through TSA. This is a true story. My daughter's in a wheelchair. Her legs don't work. And I was like, look, like, how do you want us to go through the metal detector? Do you want us to just go around and do a path or something like that? And they're like, no, the chair can go through the side, but she needs to go through the metal detector. And I'm like, she can't walk. How do you want me to do this? Like, well, she needs to go through the metal detector. And I'm like, again, she cannot walk through the metal detector. How do you want me to do this? And they said, well, then you need to carry her through. So I swear this is a true story. I held her like this and I walked her through like it was so embarrassing for me and for her. And Sydney, like, to her credit, like, she was smiling. She thought it was funny. We tried to make it as fun as possible, but I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. And I was just looking around for like any kind of a supervisor, like, or anybody that maybe could step in and be like, hey, this is not how we do things, but there was nobody around. And maybe it was a staffing issue at the time where there just wasn't, I don't know what happened, but
they follow just, policies.
It's out wet.
It's the policy. And we had the same issue. Like, they're like, you have to check. I mean, you have to put the walker on the scanner. And I said, it's not going to fit in the scanner. And so meanwhile, like, Rosie can't stand unassisted. So we had to, she's standing up and she's leaning against me and I'm trying to like show them that they can't do the walker. So then they had to like hand check it and inspect it. They're like, okay, send her through. And I'm like, she can't get through by herself. She doesn't walk. And so we had to like walk her through. And meanwhile, the whole line is just backing up and backing up and backing up. And like, you got the pressure. I don't want to interrupt anybody else's thing. And I'm looking at these people like there needs to be a little bit more common sense in the process. Again, like, there's lack of training, lack of process. I'm not sure how many disabled children go through TSA on a regular basis, but obviously it's something that doesn't work for you, Evan, hasn't really worked for me. And I've never spoken to anybody that has a child with disabilities or that with mobility issues that's had the greatest experience ever going through TSA.
Well, so tip number one that we can offer our listeners right now, almost every airline now and every airport now in the United States, can't speak for airports outside of the country, but the ones that we've dealt with in the United States now, there's almost, in almost every single airport, there is a phone number, there is a department that you can call before you get to the airline. If you have somebody that's in your party that's traveling with a disability, you can call them and you can say, I have a child, I have a person in my party that has a disability. What's the best way that we can do this to make this easier for everybody? And since that experience with Sydney, which happened several years ago, the overwhelming majority of experiences at the airport have been great because of that. Somebody meets us, they'll help us, you know, when we check in, they'll give us, you know, the right way. There's usually like a special person that'll meet us, take us a certain way. And that's excellent. And by the way, that's not only sometimes it's related to the airline. Sometimes it's related to the airport. And unfortunately, like the burden kind of falls on us, the family, to figure out what it is. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And it could be a lot worse, right? You just got to look and figure out who it is to call. And it's a couple extra calls. And look, I wish it was easier. And I wish I didn't have to go through this sometimes, but it is what it is. Yeah. And it's just, look, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Because you're talking about the airport and I want to make a correction of what I said. It wasn't TSA. I've also understood that airports hire out people in the wheelchair, so that's not part of TSA. But what I would love to get more for the audience and just help me understand, what about the airplane? So you've gone through the airport. Well, how are you guys getting your daughters if they can't walk? Like,
okay.
What's that process look like and how can we help people there?
Mike, you want to take this first?
Sure. Yeah. So we fly with American. And every time we go, if I'm traveling with my daughter, we'll go up to the front and I'll say, my daughter is disabled. She can't walk. She needs assistance walking on the plane. Can we get pre-boarding? And the airlines have always been very accommodating. I've never really had any problems once I get on in the boarding section or onto the airplane. In fact, I'd say my experience has been above and beyond making sure everything's ready. There's been a point where they stop boarding and don't allow the people behind us to even queue up. So there's like zero pressure. It's like the opposite of TSA. I've had amazing experiences with the airlines getting on and also getting off and even during the flight. Like, they're extra attentive. Do you need anything? For me, it's been amazing. Hats off to American Airlines.
Yeah, we've flown a couple different lines with Sydney. And it's been a similar experience where we go, as long as we go and we let them know beforehand, look, we don't bring her usual wheelchair on the plane. I will say that. When we travel with Sydney, and look, it's not that we don't appreciate the people who work on the airlines and the flight attendants and all the people at the airport, but the stats are the stats. And it is true that between 10 and 15,000 on average per year, 10 to 15,000 wheelchairs and other mobility devices are damaged or destroyed, at airports and on flights, because they, they're not treated with the tender love and care all the time that they're treated at home. It's just the way it is. I wish there was a better way to say it. Lack of training. Yeah. And, you know, also it's sometimes it's a lack of understanding that, wheelchairs are so important. It is my daughter's legs, and I treat that wheelchair with so much care, and it is such an important thing in my life and my house. And it just doesn't hit the same way with other people who don't understand that. And that's just the way it is. It's not worth the risk. So we end up going with like a strollery kind of a thing. There's a company called Special Tomato that makes a travel chair. And there is like a rubber insert that goes in it, and you can take the rubber insert out. And so we'll fold up the stroller and take the rubber chair out. And then the rubber chair goes on the seat on the plane, and then that straps in. And so what we'll do is we will check the stroller at the gate, and then I will lift Sydney, and I have a photo of this, and then I will hold Sydney in the chair. She's huge, by the way. I will hold her in the chair, and then I will carry her down the aisle, put her in the seat, strap her in, and then Sydney will sit in that chair for the duration of the flight. Now, that is not the long-term plan with her, because she's only 10 and she's going to get bigger, and eventually we're going to need a better plan. I will say that there are airlines like Delta, I believe American as well, and other airlines that are piloting a new program for wheelchair accessible seating on planes.
I heard about that.
It's not fully approved yet, but I am told that it should be approved very soon. And essentially what it is, it's the same kind of seating system that they have in wheelchair accessible vans, like the one that I have right now, which is, it's a click-in system. So you can take the wheelchair that we have at home, which has a piece on the bottom of the wheelchair, and then there is a fixed piece on the ground of the plane or the ground of our van. And then you drive the wheelchair up, and it clicks in, and it's secured. And once it clicks in, you're in. It's like it's completely locked in. And then that way you don't have to take the person out of the wheelchair and then transfer them to another seat. They are all the way clicked in. And so once that starts becoming more mainstream, and it's on other, you know, Delta starts integrating it on more flights, same with American and other airlines, that is going to make travel a million times easier for families like mine. I can't wait for that.
Well, I got some good information around this, because I actually learned a lot about this when I went to Microsoft and met Jessica on their accessibility team. And she's part of the group All Wheels Up that's leading that whole forum.
Great.
They're also doing it with Paralyzed Veterans of America. And I have some information from this that backs up what you guys are talking about, and would just love to talk about this number. But
Let's hear it.
Nearly 1,000 mobility devices are damaged or destroyed during our air travel every month. So that's backing up what you said, Evan. Yep. But this one I thought was interesting. 70% of disabled Americans opt out of flying due to inaccessibility. So think about the business that airlines are losing because they're not creating accessible planes. So I think what you're talking about, and then it says 20% of travelers report injuries from aisle chairs.
Yep.
And yet wheelchairs can meet FAA safety standards, and many airlines are eager to be the first to market onboard solutions. So I think that just supports what you're talking about. And I think opening more new markets, because that's what we like to talk about around accessibility, is another good business decision for all companies.
Yeah, I think the stats that you just mentioned are ones that I've experienced. I think the biggest one is there's been so many opportunities to travel or do something that we've just opted out of doing because it's just so much. And it's really not fair. It's not fair to my daughter, because she loves doing new things and going to new places. But like, there's just been times where it's just like, well, maybe not now, or maybe not this far, Or do we have another option? Like, you'll talk yourself out of it. It sucks. I hate to say that, but guilty, you know, for those reasons.
100%. Yeah, I mean, we've been taking family vacations to places where we can drive. I mean, we did take one trip on a plane last year. It was Sydney's second time on a plane. And hopefully when there's the seating system, the wheelchair accessibility system on planes becomes more commonplace, we'll be willing to fly more. Because we really want to go to Morgan's Wonderland. You know, we had the founder on our show recently, and that's something that we want to do. We want to get to, but that's going to require a flight for us.
Yeah.
And I mean, the reality of it is we'll probably be willing to get on a plane and deal with that for that trip because the destination is so worth it. And that brings us to our next topic, which is the hotels. And, you know, once you get off the plane, then you got to get to a car. And then in the car on the way to the hotel. So for us, when we were with Sydney, when we got off the plane, we had to find a van that was a wheelchair accessible, handicap accessible, to get us to our destination, which was a challenge in itself. But fortunately, we had done some research and found some resources. And our producer, Fred, has found some good resources, which I'd like to pass along to our listeners right now. And you can find all these in the links if you go to our YouTube page in the bio here. Open Doors Organization promotes accessible travel and tourism. Society for Accessible Travel and Hospitality, Advocacy and Education, wheelchairtravel.org, Destination and Airport Guides. And there's more that you can find. I don't want to read all of them, but you can find them all there. There are some great resources that we've compiled. So when you are traveling, not just the stuff at the airport, but transportation afterwards, hotels that are accessible for people with wheelchairs and other disabilities, all this stuff, look, is it fair that you have to do all of this research before you can just go out and travel? You can't just go to a website, click and go like people in the commercials do. You grab your Corona, you click two buttons and you're on a beach and you're there. No, you can't just do that. It sucks. It requires a little bit more work than that. But you know what? We're resilient people, right, guys?
We are resilient people.
So guys, I'd love to just ask you, how do you guys deal with maybe the I'm going to say it, added stress, or even Mike, you said some of the guilt from some of this extra work, or just, you know, the challenges you have to deal with because it's not accessible.
Yeah, it's the added stress. I'll tell you, first of all, there's an enormous amount. I would say enormous, but there's much more baggage and luggage that you need to carry. You need to check it in. You've got to deal with fragile. There's extra time involved. You know, I understand that that's part of my travel now. And I remember in the beginning, it was very stressful when it was new and I was still learning how to do all that stuff. And I wasn't as confident in being able to accomplish those tasks. And I remember it was just very tough for me, you know, like, you know, you're being looked at. And when there's the line packing up, like, I'd get, you know, like, hot, you can feel yourself get hot and red and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep.
I don't care anymore, right? This is my life and this is my daughter. This is my family and we're going someplace. And to be honest, I don't give a shit anymore. It's because I'm more focused on, here's where we're going. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be together as a family. And these are the things we're going to experience. And I'm no expert. I'm still no expert. It's not easy, but also when we do travel, when we do go someplace, we're also thinking a lot more carefully about the destination in mind. And I will say that there's a lot of places that we would go to that are very, very, very amazingly accessible. But again, not everywhere is. And that's okay. Not everywhere needs to accommodate me or my family. But like, doing it as often as we've done for as many years, like, you just pick differently and you plan a little bit differently. And I think I've learned over time, I don't need all of the things that we brought, even though it's less comfortable. But you get through it. You know, it's, we do it in a way.
You got your priorities straight, Mike, because you know, you kind of brush off that thing, but it's true. A lot of people do care about what other people think.
Yes.
And I did.
And I understand that. I totally understand that, because even like living in the accessibility and disability world, like I said before in an earlier episode, I can't unsee the world now that I have a daughter with disabilities. I see everything from an accessibility standpoint, and that's how it just is. So where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I need to get there, what I'm bringing. And, you know, maybe I'm unique in that aspect, but I agree with you. It's not that it's not fair. It's just, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But I think before I go to Evan, I think just to give some insight, you know, I have a 1 and 3 year old and it's just as stressful. And I actually do, like, when I have a stroller, I don't want to be that guy. So I just think about, for our audience, how much more you're kind of, I'm just dealing with a stroller. So you guys have so much more. So I just think but everybody has that stress of travel. I want people to understand you guys got the stress of travel plus
it's extra.
A lot more. It's extra. It's extra. Not just like, oh, you're doing it. Traveling's all stressful for many people. But I just really want to point out you guys really have extra stress there. Evan, what about you? Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I can sympathize with other travelers in our same situation. Like, I've been to hotels or the airport and I see a parent with a kid in a wheelchair or something. And I look at them and I just automatically know to a degree what they're going through. And like, I'll tend to be a little extra helpful. Like, do you need me to, you know, move this, or if they're getting onto the plane? And they're receptive. And I think they just have this intuition, like, oh, that's a dad of a kid with a disability, something along those lines. But like, anytime I can help, because I understand, and it is one step above. I've traveled with my kids that aren't disabled. And when I'm traveling with Rosie as well, like, there's an extra element. It's just, it's tough.
You know, one thing I will bring up, and I know we're going to talk about this in an upcoming episode, but this is a good segue into that little teaser for that. But, you know, I have a son who's 7 years old. My daughter's 10, and he's starting to get to the point where he's starting to acknowledge and realize that we have a different experience than other families that don't have a member with a severe disability. We went to Vegas recently, and one of the experiences that we had were we were in line for the pool. And when they opened up the pool at the resort that we were at, everybody sprints to go get seats by the pool. And you can see it's like they open it up and then boom, it's like a race. Ah, you got to go get the best seats by the best pool. And like, that just doesn't work for us, right? So we're trying to carefully maneuver Sydney around. And Bennett's like, but we got to race to the pool. We got to go. Like, what are we doing? And I'm like, hey, man, it's just, you know, it's different for us. We just got to hope that we find a good spot. And Bennett was very clever. He was trying to go to places at the pool. He didn't think people, he was trying to outsmart people. And the way that he approached it, and he ended up finding us good seats. But it's like, he's starting to see that, like, it's different for us. And he's got to approach things differently when we travel. Like, okay, it's not, if we try to compete with people, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, other than the fact that, like, he's starting to see that, like, we're a team, we're a unit, and we've got to figure out ways to kind of make our experience different. And our experience is different, but we got to figure out creative ways to make it fun so we don't feel like we're second class. We'll figure out ways around the challenges so we can still experience it. And by the way, he ended up finding us great seats by the pool. He did. Bennett did.
It sounds like he's like aware that life in your family is different than life in everybody else's family.
Yeah.
Like, going and doing activities is different with your family than it would be for somebody else's family. And I agree. It's the same thing. You know, even when you're talking about a resort, like, for us, we're not the type of people that get there super early and like try to get the best seats. For us, it's a matter of when we get there, we have to maneuver the wheelchair in through all of the lounge chairs, and some people have them fully reclined, and can I fit through the aisle to get to the, you know what I'm saying? It's just a whole, and my kids, it's the same thing. They see it, and sometimes they're like, I mean, they can obviously go faster, but they're at the point where, like, if somebody's chair is too reclined, they'll say, excuse me, can we get by my sister's in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
You know, they know, kids know. And, but again, like, the pool, the area, do you have enough room? The world isn't built for people with disabilities, you know, wheelchairs and things like that, but it's never going to be. Yeah. You just got to figure out how to do the best.
I guess my point is that, like,
best.
he's at the point where it's not like, woe is me. And he's sitting there and he's like, ah, oh, this sucks. It's like, it's bonded us in a way where it's like, we're in this together and we're a team and we're going to figure out a way to like have the best experience together. And I'm part of this.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of him for that. And I'm proud of him for like, he does it a lot. Like he's looking out for us as a group.
Shared experience.
Proud of his sister. And it's the shared experience. Yeah. And it's cool. It's a cool thing.
Well, I think as we get close to end, I got a question for each of you that I'd love for you to answer. So we talked about the challenges. Like, what would be your vision for an accessible travel? Like, what would you like to see changed or that would just impact making you to travel more and be a part of the numbers that we talked about, 70% in accessibility, what would make you travel more?
Well, before we answer, let's throw this back at you, Isaac, because we've done a lot of the talking, but we have a similar experience. As the son of a person with visual disability, your mom is blind. What would your answer be to that question?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting I've been very fortunate to know a lot of successful blind and visually impaired people that are traveling all the time and doing it. But I think the biggest thing that I hear, it's just better customer service and knowledge from the beginning to the end. And, you know, people throughout the process that you're touching, we heard TSA, we talk about the people at the airport that put people in wheelchairs, getting them on a plane. I think it's the knowledge and really like, how do they understand the different disabilities? Cause I've learned even from me, I'm an expert on blind and vision impaired because I grew up with it, but you two are teaching me a lot around, you know, different disabilities that I wasn't aware and how you do the morning and evening. And so for me, it's getting the airports everybody involved in this travel component. And we're just really been talking about airlines. We haven't even talked about hotels, and I'm sure there's some great stories there, but that's what I think is how do we start getting a knowledge-based industry and travel? So, hey, you guys can get more travelers and in the end, you make more money.
Yeah. I think from my perspective, and that's, I'm a parent of a child with disabilities, particularly in this case, mobility issues. I don't think the changes that need to be made to take it from like a 4 to an 8 are that difficult. And I think a lot of it goes around process development and training. And I understand that it's not regular that, you know, a 12-year-old in a wheelchair or a walker comes through the TSA or boards an airplane. So I understand there might not be familiarity, but I do think better process development and training and a few extra things like TSA, like having a special way to check through TSA. I think for me, again, my experience pre-boarding on an airplane solves the problem, and even getting off the plane solves the problem. And typically what I would do is if it's easy for us, we'll get off at the same time. Otherwise, I have no problem waiting to get off. Never really had an issue. If there's gate check, I think it's always been fine. There's never been any damage to my stuff. Not to say that there never will be. But I think there's just a little bit more training that can be done. I appreciate hotels that provide transportation for wheelchairs and mobility that have lifts. I've been to places that don't have it, and it's like crazy trying to like walk her up the stairs, which is not safe. But then there are those that have ramps to get on and off. And, but for me, I think process development, more training, but like reinforcement of it, not one time per year, maybe quarterly. I think it's easy. I think they can do it. It's accomplishable.
I agree with everything you just said. And the other thing I will throw out just in case anybody's listening in the travel industry, I'll just add one little thing. Bathrooms. That's it. That's
bathrooms on the plane.
I'll
don't
leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You can do that. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate that. If you want more information, check out the links in our bio on the YouTube page here. We got links if you were traveling. And the other thing that I want to throw out to you is there's no better resource than people who have been through this before. You can always reach out to us. Our social media accounts, reach out. My Instagram account is Ev Rosenblum. You can reach out to me, my daughter, anybody here can see our accounts. And if you like what you heard here, please like, subscribe, share. We're reachable. If you have questions, hit us up. We're happy to respond. We love to talk about this stuff. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
See you.
Thank you.